Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, let's head back out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and let's talk some fantasy football. Dave Richard with CBS Sports HQ is our guest. And, Dave, we are getting down to the nitty-gritty as the playoffs are right around the corner. Your advice for if you're one of those players, one of those managers right now, you're sitting there right on the brink as far as players and good schedules, schedules that are advantageous for some good scoring these last few weeks of the regular season, who are some of the ones that are really standing out that you're talking about?
Well, I would start with Seattle's schedule, and you see that they've got the Eagles this week on Monday, and then they've got the Giants and Jets at home in consecutive weeks. That's about as good as it gets. Their DST is going to be an option to pick up off the waiver wire this week. I know that sounds silly because they were so terrible earlier this year. They've gotten better. Getting Carlos Dunlap, that's helped their pass rush, and their secondary is getting healthier, and their linebackers have always been good. So they are slowly starting to evolve into a defendant that I like a lot. And just staying on that defensive point, the Packers have the Bears this week. And then they've got the Eagles. Carson Wentz has turned into a turnover machine. His offensive line's in terrible shape. It's basically what happened to the Browns last year. Those two matchups. And then Detroit after that, pretty good for the Packers. So there's a couple of DSTs out there that I think could be decent. I look at Indianapolis, and Michael Pittman's going to be one of the hot waiver claims this week at wide receiver. He's got Tennessee this week, then Houston, then Vegas, then Houston again. Are you kidding me? All leading up to week 16 at Pittsburgh. That one's going to be tough. But all these other games before then could help Michael Pittman. He only had three targets last week, but he had 15 targets in the two games prior. Seems to be a good short area threat and downfield threat, can make plays after the catch. That would be another player whose schedule is favorable and could help him moving forward. And if it's good for Pittman, it's going to be good for Phillip Rivers, another quarterback who's out there. Probably won't be the top quarterback off the waiver wire pile because I think people are going to go get Taysom Hill. And I think there's going to be some attention for Daniel Jones and Kirk Cousins too. But Rivers has actually started to play well. I think he's at 18 fantasy points or more in four of his past five, 27 or more in three of those four. So there's potential there. And Pittman's a big part of it. And that Indianapolis offense and defense starting to put some good things together.
Dave, you just mentioned him, Taysom Hill with the New Orleans Saints. Yep. Impressive performance in his first start. What do you make of this kind of situation there in New Orleans?
I actually thought he'd do more as a passer, Dustin. Like the fact that he scored two touchdowns on the ground, I think a lot of people do that and say, well, of course, that's what Taysom Hill does. But I did a lot of research on him going into them because of what I'm point accurate quarterback, not necessarily a cannon for an arm, but good velocity on the football, isn't afraid to take chances. And when you mesh that with his mobility, it gave him an opportunity against a terrible pass defense to do some great things. Now, I'm a little standoffish on him going up against Denver this week. Vic Fangio is a good defensive coordinator. He typically gets the most out of his defenses. But after this week, you take a look at the schedule, and you wonder how many more games that we actually have of Taysom Hill. He's got Atlanta again in Week 13, and then he's got Philadelphia after that. Those are two matchups that I think he can definitely get going on the ground. And obviously the one against Atlanta, I would suspect that he'll start to pass a little bit more. Against Denver, too, but certainly against Atlanta, where we might be able to get some passing touchdowns from him. Just consistently moving the chains for New Orleans. That's a good offense. It schemed well, and I think Taysom Hill delivered.
Is there a guy, now that we're talking about the Saints, and obviously that's a fantasy favorite for many. Yep. I know I've got a few. Is there a guy that benefits? I mean, we talked about initially when Drew Brees goes down, oh, man, if you have this guy, you're going to be hurting. But Michael Thomas had enough targets. Kamara, because Taysom Hill's going to be taking some of those running attempts. What do you think?
It was actually strange what was going on in the game because Kamara, you're right, didn't get many targets. And when I say he didn't get many targets, he got one. And we're used to Alvin Kamara getting like 6, 7, 8, maybe 10, lucky in a given game. It was Michael Thomas that had the targets, and it makes sense, right? You're a backup quarterback making your first start. You're going to lean on the best receiver on the offense. And he and Thomas, it looked like they had been playing together for about 6 years. Because they were in rhythm all game long. I'm a little nervous about Kamara because Latavius Murray just he played a little bit more than I thought he normally would, and he had two targets and he had two catches and they were both like hot reads, screens, dump passes when the pressure got to Taysom Hill, and Latavius did good things with him. And I watched the game and I was thinking to myself, just imagine what Kamara would have done with these passes. Murray got 36 yards. I wonder if Kamara could have broken one of them off for a long touchdown. And that could happen. I wouldn't be surprised in the least if we see Kamara start to take on a little bit of that role from Taysom Hill moving forward. And defenses are just going to have to adjust to this. It's already a tough nut to crack with Taysom Hill running the football. But if he can move the defense with his legs and then pass across the field or find somebody at midfield like Alvin Kamara to make a play after the catch, it's going to be hell on those linebackers. And I'm just thinking about the work that Vic Fangio is going to have to do. And maybe that's where we see Taysom Hill take that step forward statistically as a passer on those short area targets. And I would think that would eventually help guys like Jared Cook as well. But I'm not so sure Cook is going to see a lot of targets from Taysom Hill outside of maybe when they're inside the 10 and it's a play action play, something like that. Jared Cook could be the one that's really hurt the most by what's going on with Taysom Hill.
Dave Richards, CBS Sports HQ, is our guest talking fantasy with him each and every Tuesday here on Bull and Fox. All right, so you mentioned Pittman earlier with the Colts. Jonathan Taylor owners are going, wait, do I start the guy? Do I not start the guy? This week he had enough touches and was certainly very involved in the offense. So what do you make of Jonathan Taylor and just that running back room in general moving forward for the Colts?
Yeah, it seems pretty obvious to me that Frank Reich and company want to try and get him going. And I haven't watched the film of Taylor yet, but I would suspect by the fact that they gave him four catches and that he had 22 carries for 90 yards with a long of 18, that he's starting to break out of this funk that he's in. Really, it just seemed like he was slow to read what defenses were doing and what the offensive line was opening up for him. And if he can get past that, he's going to be a nightmare for defenses. And it helped he was going up against the Packers. Green Bay's run defense really hasn't been much to write home about. But now you look at Tennessee and the Titans' defense. They did a pretty bad job against other running backs in Indianapolis when they played a couple of weeks ago. But Jonathan Taylor's in a position here where I think he can continue to get a lot of work. Fantasy managers that have stayed the course with him, I don't know if they've necessarily been starting him, but I think they could expect him to perform like a number two running back. The Titans have allowed a touchdown to a running back in all but one game this year and six rushing touchdowns in their past six games to running backs. I think that there is an opportunity here for Jonathan Taylor to punch one in from short range.
Hey, Dave, you're down there in Florida. What are you hearing from Jacksonville this weekend with their quarterback situation? Is Minshew going to play?
I hope he does, because what we've seen from Jake Luton has been a guy who's just not quite ready to deal with the rigors of a pass rush in the National Football League. I think it was pretty apparent that he was going to be under siege against the Steelers. Going into the game last week, he was 5 of 21 with 69 yards and two interceptions when under pressure, period. Now he's got the pressure from the Steelers, and they are the most blitz-happy team in the National Football League. Keep that in mind if you've got Lamar Jackson on your fantasy squad on Thursday night. I think that Luton looked good on his very first throw to DJ Chark, and it started to regress from there. He's thrown a lot of off-target throws over the past few games. And I would suspect that if Gardner Minshew is healthy, he'll get the opportunity back. Or they might go to Mike Glennon, who's just a veteran arm. been in there before, doesn't necessarily do great with pressure either, but somebody who might be able to give this Jaguars passing game a bit of a a half step forward, something to keep them going, because I don't think Luton is going to be the answer.
Mm-hmm. Dave, couple of listener questions here for you. Max says, should I start Robert Woods, who had a huge game last night, mm-hmm. or A.J. Brown this week, full PPR?
It's got to be Brown. I know that Woods was certainly better, but I think Brown is one of those guys that you just can't sit. I'm afraid of missing out with him because he always finds ways to put up good numbers. Going up against Indianapolis isn't exactly the easiest thing in the world, but the one thing I can tell you about Robert Woods is that whenever the Rams decide, you know what, we're not going to run the football, that's when you should start Robert Woods. And maybe that'll be the case this week against San Francisco, but I'm not quite – I'm almost certain that he's not going to have as many catches as he had on Monday. And he's probably not going to have as many yards after the catch. He had 72 yards after the catch against the Bucs. You saw the game. They couldn't tackle him or Cooper Kupp. Both of them had over 70 yards after the catch. That's dreadful. Dustin would tell you that if you're a DB in the Bucs, coaching room, whatever you want to call it, they're getting chewed out for not wrapping up guys, and I'm sure they're going to try and rectify that. But it's rare for a Rams receiver, especially Woods, to have that much yardage after the catch. I would expect him to take a step back this week statistically. Brown has more upside.
Nyheim Hines or Travis Fulgham in a flex position?
Ooh, it's a tough spot to be in with those two guys. Hines, again, we've seen it now three times this year where he has a big game and the Colts coaching staff says, nice job, Nyheim, we're going with the rookie. So I have a hard time. I got trust issues with Nyheim Hines, but I've got trust issues with Fulgham too, who at least did have seven targets against for the Eagles last week. They were playing against the Browns, and I would expect him to have a pretty good game if he's got seven targets. But no, man, Carson Wentz really was a mess in that game. I'm going to the waiver wire, honestly, with those two guys as my options. I'm going to see who's out there. Can I get a boom or bust receiver like Nelson Agholor or Rashad Perriman to fill in to that flex mm-hmm. spot ahead of those two guys? If I could get one of them, I would take them.
Okay, final one for you. We'll let you go with this. Quarterback question, and it's the big one on Thursday night. Baltimore's decimated with injuries and COVID and whatnot. Guy wants to know who to start at quarterback. He's got both Roethlisberger and Lamar Jackson. Who are you going with?
I'm going to take the guy that's been good in fantasy all year long, and that's Roethlisberger. And I know that the Ravens' defense, 18 or fewer fantasy points to three of the past four quarterbacks they faced. That includes Roethlisberger. But you know what Ben's upside is. He's given you 30 or more fantasy points in two of his past three games. And then the third game, he still did pretty well. It was against Jacksonville. He was all right. So I think Roethlisberger is still the best one to go with there. Jackson has not been great this year. His downfield passing has been very spotty. He's going up against the Steelers. They've done a nice job against quarterbacks.
Dave, where can we look for you next as far as CBS Sports HQ online?
Where we are on live every day, noon Eastern on CBSSportsHQ.com, delivering the greatest fantasy advice that we can. We know that people are trying to make their playoffs. You got 2 weeks left to put some wins together. We're going to help you do it. CBSSportsHQ.com, 12 noon Eastern.
Love it. Dave, thanks for the conversation.
Good stuff,
as always,
Dave. Thanks,
we'll
buddy.
Next week. Thanks,
you
buddy.
Got it, gentlemen. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
You too.
Likewise.
You too,
man.
That is Dave Richards, CBS Sports HQ, gearing up for the playoffs, the fantasy playoffs.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.